Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we're halfway through Strikesgiving, and look, some good news coming out of places. IATSE seems to, they've got a tentative agreement. We're seeing John Deere with a decent tentative agreement. We're seeing some movement, and you know, Kaiser Permanente, somewhat of a decent proposal. Maybe we're not going to see them go on strike. This is what people going on strike and people winning those strikes gets you: a more militant, active working class doing what I always talk about, fighting for better wages, hours, and conditions to make their lives better. And here to share some thoughts on just that, a man who just wrote what I thought was a great article over at The Nation titled "The Working Class is on Strike," written by John Fetterman, current lieutenant governor here in Pennsylvania, and senatorial candidate, hopefully my choice for Senate in this upcoming election. John, thanks for taking some time for us.
Oh my gosh, Rick, it's always a pleasure and honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me again.
So let's get into the op-ed, which I thought, again, was fantastic and needed. The working class is on strike because, well, for years, they've been getting the shaft and screwed over. It's about time that we see this anger make its way into the streets.
I couldn't agree more. I've had the honor of being on numerous picket lines over the last several months, and in every single case, these are the women and men that got us through the pandemic, created enormous wealth for the companies that they work with in their union, and delivered the goods and services and the products that we as a society needed during the pandemic. And they deserve to be compensated for that. I mean, like in all these years, Rick, you know, I've never seen a greedy union member on your show. I've never met a greedy union member. It's always just about what these folks deserve. And some of these strikes, you know, it's just, I don't understand where these companies are coming from. The Kellogg's workers in Lancaster, they got us through the pandemic. They kept us fed during the pandemic. And now they're trying to divide the union and create a two-tiered system for their workers. But what was amazing about that strike is that the older established workers were like, no, you're not. You know, you're not going to divide our union. It's like, we're one together, or we're gonna strike. And that's exactly what they did. And, yeah. And it's such an inspiring example of solidarity. And you see that whether you're the teachers union in Scranton, or whether you're the iron workers up in Erie, I mean, literally in every corner of Pennsylvania and in this country, it's Striketober to Strikesgiving, and it's really inspiring.
Now, as you mentioned a moment ago, we went through this pandemic, and you know, we were told they're essential, they're told they're patriotic.
They are.
all of that stuff, that's what they were told. Patted on the back, yay, all that stuff. But the second they go, we'd like to be able to support our families a little better. We'd like to have health insurance, retirement security, safe working conditions. Well, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, no, I mean, and think about this. The John Deere workers, I mean, think about the business that John Deere is having. They are having record years, record profits, now that the infrastructure bill is passed, which again is a boon for union brothers and sisters all across the country. But it's like, and here they are trying to break the union again down there, and force them to accept a substandard wage, and trying to have these management types come in and operate and finish the machinery and everything. And it's a disaster. And here's a company that could easily pay their workers what they deserve and a portion of the value that they've created, but they've chosen to take it this far. And it's only gonna hurt John Deere. Yep. It's only going to, you know, strengthen the resolve of the unions. And once again, they tried to divide and create a two-tiered system there, and it failed. And the level of the solidarity that I've experienced, you know, by talking to these workers is genuinely inspiring in a way that I think that's what gets people behind them, where it's just like, oh, you're not going to do that. You know, essential has got to be more than lip service. It's got to be like, hey, we got through this pandemic. You deserve to be compensated and rewarded for sticking with us during all of this and allowing us to achieve record-breaking profits, like, or stock buybacks, like at Kellogg's. They had a $1.5 billion stock buyback, you know, and now they're like crying poor, where they're trying to cut half of the union off and create a permanent two-tier system. And the workers just didn't stand for it. And I've got nothing but esteem and respect for that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But here's the thing. Here's where I'm at. My problem is our political system is so broken, that the laws have been so badly broken, and in desperate need of legislative fixes, of some bit of reform, yet we can't seem to get anything done. I mean, the last time we did anything positive on labor law in this country was back in 1935 when we passed the Wagner Act. So when I look at this, I go, this is why politics matters. And this is why electing people who are going to stand up for working people and people like you, who I've been saying every Democratic politician in this country needs to find a picket line today and start walking with those people. Don't say a word. Just listen. Adopt a striker and go out there and listen to what they've got to say and the struggles that they've got, and then get back into the halls of power and actually do something to make their lives better. That's what we need to be doing.
I couldn't agree more. And it's like, you know, you have the iron workers in Erie. You know, they offered their workers a nickel raise in the third year of a 5-year contract. And I'm like, you've got to be shitting me, you know? A nickel raise, you know, in your third year. It's like a nickel raise. And that's insulting. And, you know, these guys get it together and they make the concrete processing equipment that is going to be in heavy, heavy demand, especially with the infrastructure bill being signed into law. Like, pay your men and women the value that they create and work together, and everyone comes out ahead. And what's this strikes giving is showing us that the greed hasn't left corporate America, and trying to break unions and create a permanent two-tiered system is just wrong, and people aren't standing for it. And now these companies realize where they've gone wrong and are going to eventually give the unions what they deserve, because the unions have the people behind them, they have the elected officials behind them, and they have what's right and what's true behind them, which is the most important thing, that they are the reasons these companies are so financially successful, and they deserve to be able to be providing for their families, not have their health care cut, and not offered a nickel raise in the third year of a 5-year contract for the enormous hard work that they deliver.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is where I keep coming back to. We need legal change. We can't seem to get a minimum wage passed to help people at the very bottom. We can't seem to make it easier for workers to organize and not have to endure weeks, months, even years of captive audience meetings and harassment if they simply want to collectively bargain for better wages, hours, and conditions. And when you get to this point, they bring in union busters to come in and harass people during contract time even. This kind of stuff, there's got to be some legislative change, which, again, you know, I look at someone like Pat Toomey, who has been as anti-labor as you can possibly be.
Why? At every juncture.
At every juncture. Why we need...
We need the PRO Act. We need the PRO Act. We need, as Democrats, to come together and deliver a minimum wage, you know, for America, and deliver the PRO Act. And I would just say to your membership, I mean, you know, I've encountered union members. I live across the street from the steel mill, Steelworkers Union, 1219 Hall. And it's just like, you know, members, whether or not you agree with Democrats on every single political issue, that's not important to me. I hope that's true, but it's not. But one thing that you can't please ever forget, that we are the party that has voted and delivered the new infrastructure bill. We are the party that believes you have a right to collective bargaining and to exist and to go on strike, and to not have your state flipped right to work, and to have elected leaders that are trying to break and bust and outlaw unions. And it's like, there will never be any daylight between me and the union way of life, because I believe the union way of life is sacred. And, you know, the thing that keeps coming through, as I said, time and time again, is that these strikes are just, they are righteous, and they are all grounded in the belief that they deserve fair compensation and a fair contract with good benefits for themselves, their families, and their communities, because they are the ones that are getting it done for these companies. And Democrats are the party that stands and believes in that. And I'm certainly a candidate that will never turn their back on the union way of life.
Yeah, the website, johnfetterman.com, if you want to check out John's campaign. But here's the thing, I keep coming back to this. In this moment, you know, I've been saying for the longest time, the places that we can agree on, and you said it a moment ago, you know, you're in line with the union way of life. For me, on Election Day 2020, Election Day this year, I was on a picket line, you know, after I went and voted, because that's where I believe we fight the righteous fights and we win to make people's lives better. And look, I was walking with people I didn't agree with on every political issue, and we don't have to agree. But where we should come together is where we agree.
Exactly. Exactly. Vote your job, lobby your hobby. That's what I always try to tell folks. It's like, you know, pick 10 issues. Hopefully we agree on all 10 of them. But the one that we will never disagree on, the one that there will be no daylight between you and I as your next senator, would be that the union way of life is sacred. And these strikes that we are, you know, whether in Pennsylvania or they're national, are righteous. And they're all rooted in the core doctrine of fairness, that hard work deserves good pay, good benefits, and a fair contract, whether if you're a teacher in Scranton, whether you're an iron worker in Erie, or you help make cereal in Lancaster, that these companies need to deliver for the employees that have been getting it done for these companies and got us through the pandemic. Essential has to be more than a talking point or a feel good word. It has to be backed up by fair contracts and respect and affirming the union way of life from the company side.
Yeah, it's more than just a press release and a PR stunt. You've got to actually back it up with actual actions. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. John's running for U.S. Senate here in Pennsylvania for the Toomey seat that is going to be soon open. Now, as you're out on the campaign trail, and I got to tell you, I don't envy you. As divided as we appear in this political moment, I'm curious, what kind of encounters are you running into these days?
All universally positive. I mean, and honestly, it's not something that I would have necessarily expected. I visited numerous picket lines. I'm going to be going to one tomorrow, in fact. So it's like getting out there, whether you're in a room in Mercer County on the Ohio border, whether you're in Susquehanna County on the New York border, whether you're in Bucks County on the New Jersey border, or in York County on the Maryland border, you know, all across Pennsylvania, people understand that this is a moment that labor deserves and needs to be having right now. And, you know, these lines are amazing places to be. And we want happy endings for everyone that is on strike, that is demanding what they deserve. I mean, like I said, these are not outlandish claims. These are just sharing in the wealth that they create. And the solidarity that's being demonstrated is truly inspiring. And it's actually legitimately energizing when you spend time among them and you realize that they are looking out for each other. I think it's some of the finest thing that you can experience. You mentioned that we are in deeply divided times, but they're not divided at the picket line. They're not. They're, you know, workers that are all set, they're good to go. Their contracts aren't being messed with. They're, you know, but they've put it all on the line to look after the younger workers or the less established workers. And I think that's the very best of not just labor, but the very best of humanity in action there. And you've got companies with billions in stock buybacks or billions in profits that are screwing them and jerking them around, and they're not putting up with it. And they're holding the line, and that's inspiring. And that's what makes it this easy to get out there and go out and campaign.
No, I give you credit for that. Now, let's go to D.C. I mean, you know, Joe Biden signed the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, something we desperately needed. There's talk of the Build Back Better plan, which we also desperately need. And, you know, Pat Toomey is dead set against it. And any Republican at this point, dead set against it. This is why we need to elect more Democrats into the Senate, because you've got Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who seem to be the ones holding up the progress that we desperately need. Give me your thoughts on the Build Back Better plan.
Yeah, I look at it this way. I am truly grateful. What I would say, I'm truly grateful to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema that they are Democrats. I really am. You know, I live close to West Virginia. I know the kind of senator that West Virginia could put up. But I would just ask, you know, just them, that in these unprecedented times with unprecedented levels of insurrection and dishonesty and danger and voter suppression and anti-union moves, we should just come together as a party and do what we need to do and deliver for working families. And that involves the BBB. You know, I'm so energized and excited by the infrastructure bill. As you pointed out, it's the largest investment since Eisenhower, maybe even FDR. I don't know, but it's a game changer. and it's going to put a lot of people to work. But more importantly, it's going to allow our economy to grow outside of just the jobs, because whether you're Amazon or whether you're any of these other high tech companies, you know, you're doing it on an American infrastructure that was built and paid for by the working class here in this country. And this is the next wave of that. So from my perspective, Pat Toomey is an enormously gifted politician. And I say that because he's managed to be despised by the left and the right. You know, nobody wants him around. The Republicans or Democrats don't want him around. And we have an opportunity in this race to elect a good Democrat that is going to always stand and vote on the union way of life in Pennsylvania. And I don't say that's necessarily me. I just want this seat to go blue. I believe, you know, we're running on our record, and we have a strong one at that. But, you know, this race is so important that the race that we're running is all positive, and it's rooted in the union way of life is the very base of the Democratic pyramid, certainly is of my campaign and my commitment. And I would say to your members or anyone that's listening, you know, now is that whatever your politics are, there's no daylight between you and I on the sanctity of the union way of life and your right to organize and your right to receive a fair contract and your right to exist and collectively bargain for the betterment of you, yourself, your family, and your communities.
At the end of this, John, you know, I look at this, and for me, the Democratic message, because they're getting beat up on a whole bunch of fronts, is we're going to make your lives better by reshoring manufacturing, by making sure that those jobs are family-sustaining jobs, and reaching people that, you know, have left the Democratic Party over the years because they've been left behind by saying, look, we understand, and we're going to help make things better.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, you know, making shit in America is never going to go out of style. We got to do that. We have to do that. You know, my answer is always going to be yes or no. Yes, we always need to make more stuff. It needs to come from our country. You know, supply chains get a lot less complicated when it's made in this country, when it's not made in China or made overseas. You know, and, you know, my point in all of this is that, you know, if we as a party, we as a country turn our backs on unions and that way of life, we do so at our own peril as a party. We do so as a country with our middle class, because the unions have built America. They built the middle class. They invented the weekend, and they have created, our country. And they deserve no less than what they deserve.
Good stuff.
And that's what Strikes Giving has been about. And that's why I'm always grateful to be invited to all these different lines across Pennsylvania, including one tomorrow.
Great stuff. John, I appreciate the time. Keep up the fight. I wish you the best of luck. I hope you come back and talk to us again real soon.
Rick, thanks for having me on. Have me back anytime. Thanks,
anytime. Bro. Good stuff. John Fetterman, Lieutenant Governor here in Pennsylvania, running for U.S. Senate. Check out his website, johnfetterman.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.